You'll get the hardware shortly, but first let's cover a couple of things. 27 years ago, the most amazing daily double in the history of the planet took place. The city of Los Angeles had no smog and no traffic. How did you pull that off?
John Wooden was a religious man. And so that was, we looked upstairs and, you know, Los Angeles has pretty good weather most all the time. People always want to pick on us, but a lot of people want to live here and that's where I'm going to stay. Traffic is solvable. Traffic is very solvable. Just short thing for everybody here. If you're on the freeways and you get stuck in the next few days at any time, realize that you could stop it and you could stop it in a week. Traffic from 55 miles an hour to gridlock, so gridlock to 55 miles an hour free flowing, is only 8%. It's 8%. And we took off 20% freeways. And that one we knew we won. We loved when the various universities, not this one, were criticizing us and we were going to have a gridlock. We could do that, you know, we could do that tomorrow here. By just figuring out how to take 8% off, and you wouldn't have jammed up freeways. And you know, as an idea, you could just put a letter on each car, an M, or T, or TH, or W, or F, and that car couldn't go on the freeways. It could drive anywhere on one day, the day that had the. And wealthy people have two cars, and they could trade their cars. But the truth is. The truth is, you're taking 20% off, and everybody'd get the idea, and it worked, and we'd have no traffic on the freeways.
That makes so much sense. I'd like you to run for mayor, by the way. Before the Olympics in 84, and people forget, and it wasn't mentioned in the piece, there's a lot of stuff going on. We boycott the Moscow Games in 1980, and then quid pro quo, the Soviet Union and a lot of the Eastern Bloc countries boycotted the LA Games. So you had to put up with all of that. But then China was big in terms of coming over here. What were your expectations going into those games?
Well, you know, in the end, the boycotts are a disgrace. Our boycott, we picked the fight. Jimmy Carter was a good president in some people's minds. That was a real bad decision. You know, Afghanistan's still having problems. And remember, he boycotted. He told all the athletes of the world, don't go to the Moscow Games because of Afghanistan. And it didn't solve that problem. And so we just knew that we were going to be boycotted. And the Soviets gave a list of 100 countries that had committed in writing not to have... not to come to our games, your games. And basically, we had developed our own little private State Department. And we trained them for 3 years. We had them visiting the countries of their choice. We had them who had language, had all the skills, and to get to know all the athletes of the country, the sports minister, hopefully the head of state. And we would break the Soviet boycott when it came. And really, all the countries came other than about eight. That counted, and it was just volunteers, a lot of them from UCLA. In fact, the UCLA group, two of the three people I sent to China, and they were number one, incidentally, on the boycott list, and they'd never gone to the Olympic Games ever in their history. So that's why the Soviet Union put them as the number one on the list, and the three volunteers, I mean, when they announced the boycott, these people all had been trained for 3 years, been visiting their countries, knew the And they were all just immediately on airplanes. And the guy called me, the group, there's three of them in China, and said, we have Deng Xiaoping's signature, and he's going to bring the largest team in the whole history of the Olympic Games, and they're going to come. And they won the first medal, and that really broke the back of the boycott. And all the other people, I mean, a woman lives over here, went to Romania, in a very poor country in the Soviet Union and Soviet bloc. And she got that country to come. And they had the best gymnastic teams in the world at the time and the best rowers and all the rest. So we basically, the people of Southern California blew the boycott out of the water. So it was unsuccessful, and there hasn't been one since.
I think of you as a man who, you accomplished what you did in your mid-40s, running the Olympics, time man of the year. You know, you went to the moon. You were Neil Armstrong. And I always wondered about, you know, you do something, and it's almost going to be impossible to top. And you're a young guy, and yet for the rest of your life, you've accomplished a lot. You've been engaged in a lot. How has, just walk me through how you had to think it through at the end of that and where you are today in your life.
Well, you know, we had a lot of money left over, and that's because we used volunteers. We, you know, if we had 50,000 volunteers who gave us a year of their life, and we didn't pay them, you know, you can figure out why you had money left over. You know, you hire a lot of people, you don't pay them, and you keep the money. And so, what I told them all is, this is going to be a emotional, one of the emotional high points. It's not going to be having children. It's not going to be your marriage. It's not going to be any of those things. But it's going to be a very high point in your career. And all of you got to make decisions to get out of here. Because when we shut down, we're going to shut down. We're not going to spend any money. We're not going to spend rent. We're going to give the money away. And it's gone to youth and kids in our country. 40% of it here doing very well. And so we got everybody to start planning ahead. And I committed to a one-year term as baseball commissioner in May before the games. They said, look, your games are organized. Just come join us now. And I said, no, I'll commit, but I'm going to do it my 5 years. I won't start till after the games. And, you know, right after the games, you know, the umpires were on strike and there was all kinds of troubles. And I was quickly immersed in that kind of stuff.
And then baseball, Rebuild LA, and a lot of other things through the course of recent history. I think of you in a parallel situation, let's say with Coach Wooden, in the sense that with young people, looking into their eyes as they would talk to Coach Wooden, and he would engage them one-to-one, and he was so influential, and they were almost, you know, sitting at his knee waiting to hear what the Holy Grail would be. People who I think would be in business school to this day would look at Peter Ueberroth and say basically the same thing. You know, what can you tell me? What can I learn from you? You've dealt with a lot of kids through the years. In today's world, what do you tell them? What do you tell kids who are going to go into the business world?
Well, first of all, let's be clear. I'm no John Wooden, and the John Wooden family can attest to that. John Wooden affected my life because he... You know, during the Olympic Games and one instance before, you know, he'd give you the 15 minutes and he'd explain something that to you is very complex and complicated and, you know, sometimes a little bit life and death and everything else. And clear blue eyes, he'd give you the clear judgment and you realize you were in the presence of a very special person. And so all of you who are honoring him tonight, it's... John Wooden is, and he's going to continue for a long time to come because you're going to build on that reputation and never let it die. But young business people, and I did that today. Part of this honor, you speak to some students, and you know, I told them that the world's changing so fast you can't see it. And so you got to get on the razor's edge of change. And until you do that, unless you continue to do that and do that better, we won't be competitive as a country. And then I reminded them that every single business person needs to devote some energy to K through 12. Because that's the disaster, that's the underbelly, that's the cancer in our country. It's a cancer in this community. 60% are now dropping out of LA Unified School District systems. And so if we can't do that, if we can't educate our young, we don't have a nation. And so you don't have a nation, you don't have a product, you don't have quality of life, you don't invent new things. And so every one of those graduates, you know, in the Anderson School, I told them, you've got a second job. That's your second job. You've got to figure out a way to make impact on that for the next generation. And that's a message that John Wooden would second.
On a sports business note, you were the commissioner of baseball. We know about what you did with the Olympics. You followed sports your whole life. You get it. You understand it. The National Football League, okay. This incredibly wealthy entity. Where'd you think I was going?
Yeah, right.
The National Football League, there's a very good possibility that some games will be missed, maybe an entire season.
Right.
You look at it, you're detached, but you understand this. There's a $9 billion pot, and they can't figure out, or they don't want to figure out at this point, how to divvy it up. Just give me 90 seconds on the NFL right now.
Well,
or more.
Well, first of all, I'm qualified in some other sports, water polo. Here's my prediction. I believe they'll take it right up to the tilt and actually lose some of the preseason games, and they may even get into a game or two. But I think that they'll solve the problems. In this case, they're fighting over two things, and it's not really what's important. What they will focus on. There's some people in the audience. Jim Easton with Easton Bell Riddell is, they're making new kinds of protective gear. They're figuring out how to make the football players have longer lives. I get, as an ex-commissioner, I get all the data of the great athletes, unfortunately, but there's a service that does it as they pass on. And the baseball players are 91 and 88 and 74 and 79 and 82, and the football players are 54 and 48 and 61. And so that issue is alive and well in between them, and some of that's got to work that out between them. But I think, football's the most successful sport in our country by a long measure, and I think they'll settle it.
Talk to me about the Olympics, where they are right now compared to where they were in 1984, and what do you see in the foreseeable future here?
Well, basically, UCLA made a gift, and along with, remember in Los Angeles, we put the games on in 29 cities and 9 counties and 3 states, so we spread it around. But the IOC, which owns the Olympic movement, had only $3 million in the bank, so they couldn't help us much here in Southern California putting on the Olympic Games. But they took our plan, and we thought they were good, because it was a good plan. It was developed by a lot of smart people. The first 30 days, I just got some consultants who were really smart by the two major universities, and we talked about it. Anyway, they took our plan, and we thought they would give it to the next Games, which were held in Korea, but they didn't do it. They took it and gave it to themselves. And so their $3 million is now over $3 billion. And it's a little organization in Switzerland that has a lot of money, and so money is driving too much of it. It's got to be more about athletes coming together and learning the cultures and playing the sports cleanly playing the sports with their hearts and minds and being friends. And. And because the borders of this world are all getting erased a little bit, so you just take a look at your campus. It's a group of the brightest people, but they come from all over the world.
Of all your great accomplishments, you also have 4 children, 8 grandchildren, and not only did you stop traffic and smog, but you've been married to the same lady for 51 years. What's that key?
Well, first of all, he's a journalist and he's got it wrong.
I'm not a newspaper guy.
No, I know. We've been married for 620 months. because I don't know why, but my wife, God bless her, said when we got married in the 50s, and she was a teenager and I was older, so she didn't necessarily trust me all of it. She said, well, let's we don't have any money, and let's just quietly have a little dinner once a month, and we'll celebrate it month to month rather than having a big anniversary. And I said, that's good with me. And until I was in baseball, and I watch these guys get 8-year and 10-year no-cut contracts and 5-year no-cut contracts, and they'd be a mediocre second baseman getting a 3-year no-cut contract. So I went home and said I'd really like one of these no-cut contracts. And she said, She said, no, month to month.
Jimmy Uberoff, you have to stand up. Where are you?
She's right in the middle.
Right.
Keep the lights up 1 second. Would three of my grandsons stand up? I want to show you I'm not such a shorty. Three grandsons stand up.
Three power forwards.
I'd have my gorgeous granddaughter stand up, but she would be mad at me for doing that. So
you're still active. You still look great.
Thank you.
Is there a next for you?
Yeah, somebody asked me what's the best thing that you've done, and bringing that piece of property away from the Japanese into permanent hands and not let some buyer who's going to have exit strategy, that's a big thing for me. So, you know, if I had to rank, I'd probably rank that, because that's going to impact people for decades. And Dick and I, he was in there, we put our control shares down for three generations. So that's a place that everybody's great-grandkids will be able to go, the 17-mile drive. We own that stuff. That was pretty good. But I think the Rebuild LA, which got all just negative press, that whole area has gotten a chance, and if you drive through it, it's much better. The murder rate in Los Angeles went from 1992 at 1,000, and I'm pretty accurate on that. Now, hopefully this year, we might even have the first year under 200. And so that's probably my best thing. But the bottom line is I don't think I've done it yet. So whatever is the best thing, I haven't done it yet. I'll figure it out.
I think what might be next is Judy may be coming out, and there is some presentation of hardware.
Yeah, I think to give you a little sense, it'll be a presentation of hardware. And I've got one thing I must tell you all, and it'll be not more than 2 minutes, and we'll get you out of here. But you know what I'll do? Let me just do it. I don't have the hardware yet, but let me just tell you what's on my mind. And that is John Wooden. John Wooden, I said he is. And what you've done tonight, today, the commonality for all of you here in the room, is you have, he has technically passed, but what he stands for hasn't passed, so John Wooden is the best representation that there is of integrity, the best representation there is of being American and doing the right thing. And you've taken the fact that he's not here tonight, and by the biggest crowd ever at this event, you've launched it, and this is going to serve UCLA, but mostly serve an awful lot of people for a long time to come. And so our whole family, we congratulate all of you, because you're really part of a history, and we'll be coming back, and this thing's going to get bigger and better, and obviously UCLA will get bigger and better. So thank you very much. Thank you.